Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome to a jam-packed Evan and Tiki on a Tuesday in the summer. We got a ton to get to. There is one major change Aaron Boone needs to make immediately. We'll get to it. Both the Mets and the Yankees are at home tonight. Yankees trying to win again. The Mets just trying to freaking win. Plus, the NBA is forcing a rivalry down our throats. Ton to get to, but I'm very excited because whether he likes it or not, today's the day. I have pestered Tiki Barber for days and weeks to answer a very simple question, which is simply, who's going to win more games this year, the Jets or the Giants? And Tiki told me, I got to go to practice, I got to watch a preseason game. Well, here's what I know. The Jets played a preseason game. The Giants played a preseason game. Tiki was on the pre and post, did a great job. Earlier today, the Jets and the Giants had a joint practice.
Wasn't there a fight in that joint practice?
There's always a fight.
It was a scrum or something. Who won the scrum?
Well, I'll tell you what, it wasn't a scrum between Daboll and Aaron Glenn, who kissed each other's ass after, and I know that. But now is the day, now is the time. And I understand you're Mr. Giant, but you're also, you can be an IFO. Mm-hmm.
I have
so
to be.
Declare it loud, declare it proud on August 12, 2025. Who will win more games, the Giants or the Jets?
It's a tie, Evan.
I've
studied this deeply and meaningfully for both the Giants and the Jets, and it's a tie. No, I'm just kidding. Honestly, after the first preseason games, I am taken with how good I feel about the New York Giants.
What? What?
I'm telling you, I'm pleasantly surprised. I worried about the offensive line for the Giants. Mm-hmm. I did.
Yeah.
And even though this is the preseason, you can't take anything away from anything we see in the preseason. I actually, by the way, told you I needed to see the Jet-Giant preseason game before I told you what was going to happen. I needed to see 2 days of joint practices before I could tell you what I see was going to happen. Who has more oomph? Who has more grit? Who has more, we're going to fight you in the trenches and win the preseason joint practice fight that happens every time the Giants and the Jets get together and then play a meaningless preseason game, and then I could figure it out. But since you're pressing me, I'm going to just go off the first preseason game. Look, the Giants secondary got beat up, and it was the second and third string guys out there in that preseason game. But what you saw from the front seven defensively was pretty damn impressive. What you saw from the offensive line, which was no sacks against the Buffalo Bills, and again, grain of salt, it's preseason. I didn't expect that. I thought that there were going to be leaks, there were going to be holes, especially with Hudson starting at left tackle and AT not out there. Andrew Thomas not out there. Like it was pleasantly joyful to watch quarterbacks be able to make plays, and all four of them led scoring drives. So that tells you something about the makeup of the team, the skill position guys. And so even though the schedule is hell, especially to start, I'm going to be a homer. I'm going to say the Giants.
No, I mean, you the last thing you said is the most accurate thing you said. You're being a homer because I'm not tearing down the New York Giants by mm-hmm. any stretch. Like, there were a lot of positives you could take right out of their first preseason game, while also knowing it's just preseason.
Yes.
But the New York Jets have an offensive line. And I heard BT say this about 10 minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes BT's a little too positive, but he's right about what he said. And that is, this offensive line that the Jets have could be murder.
Right.
And I mean good kind of murder. Not that there's a good kind of murder, but you know what I mean. Murder on other sides.
Like a murder of crows, right? Isn't that what it is?
Is that
murder of crows?
Is it? No, but I think that's like
it's a group. It's a group. It's a flock.
Yeah. That's what I meant.
Right.
But when you look at the
crows
fact.
Crows are badass too, right?
Damn right.
They remember you. So don't mess with crows because they'll come back and get you.
And that's what this Jet offensive line can be.
Right, I agree with
that. I mean, Olu Fashanu, when he finally got the chance last year, looked like everything you dreamt the first round left tackle could be. He looks great. We'll see about Armen Membu. Like, I can't put him in the Hall of mm-hmm. Fame yet, and they're asking a lot out of a rookie right tackle. But John Simpson is solid. Joe Tippmann is solid. Mm-hmm. AVT was healthy last year. And I think that the Jet offensive line could actually end up being the identity of the team. Now, over the last couple of years when I was hopeful of Jet success, obviously Aaron Rodgers was a big part of it, but it was this defense can be special. This could be a top five defense, a top 10 defense, which they still have the talent to be. But finally, it is good to see an offensive line that could very well be elite. And if the offensive line is elite, they got four running backs. And I'm going to include this Donovan Edwards, who looks fantastic in preseason, to go along with Breece Hall and Braylon Allen and Isaiah Davis.
You're right.
And by the way, a quarterback that makes plays with his legs.
Yes, he does make plays with his legs. I still have to see him make throws downfield with his arm. Now, limited preseason reps in week one for Justin Fields, but he did complete 3 out of 4. He missed badly on the one to the sideline. I think that was to Garrett Wilson. But other than that, he did exactly what you want.
And he got rid of the ball quickly.
Exactly. A new quarterback to do in a new system. Make quick decisions, and when things go to hell, just run. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just use the athleticism that has made you somewhat successful, not ultimately, but somewhat successful in your Chicago tenure. Use that to be effective for this offense. And so I'm not knocking the Jets. And by the way, I'm not saying either one of these teams are winning more than 8 games, but I think.
Who's winning more games, Tate?
I think the Giants are going to win more.
Well, you're
games.
Wrong about that.
I'm being homerish and opportunistic.
I can't say you're wrong. Obviously, the games need to be played.
Right.
The Giants have, and you know, you mentioned the positives out of the first preseason game. I don't want to take that away. Like, in all seriousness, I don't want to get nuts about preseason, but Abdul Carter was on the field for 6 plays, and he couldn't be stopped. Like, I get why you guys are giddy. I'm not going to try to throw cold water on that. Same thing with Jackson Dart in the time he was out there. So I think, and I've said this to you for a while about the Giants, they're greatly improved.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no debate from me. They have more talent on this roster than they've had. But what doesn't change is that they've got the toughest schedule in the NFL.
Right.
And I get that schedule strengths can change based on opponents maybe being not as good as you thought. Like, the Commanders are a great example of it. Mm-hmm. The Giants play them twice. They're coming off a year in which they went to the NFC title game. Are the Commanders set up to possibly have a little bit of a come down this year? Absolutely.
Sophomore slump.
No, sophomore slump and the McLaurin situation.
Of course, exactly. And Debo doesn't look like he's in any kind of shape to be the lead receiver for the Commanders if Terry McLaurin's situation gets a little funky. And I don't know how that manifests itself, but it's funky right now in D.C. with Terry McLaurin. The Dallas Cowboys, who the hell knows what's going on with them? They can't get their best player happy. I mean, he's there in camp, but he's not playing. And who knows what Dak Prescott's going to look like coming back from an injury. And if not, the guy who I was so high on as the backup quarterback and Joe Milton, he looked terrible in the first preseason game. Mm-hmm. So good job, Joe Shane, staying away from Joe Milton.
No, don't say that at the one preseason.
I'm just saying. But
even if some of those things happen, this is still, as of right now, the toughest schedule in the NFL.
Of course. You got the Kansas City Chiefs,
yeah,
the Chargers. The Lions, you got the Eagles twice in 3 weeks. I mean, it gets dicey, especially in the first half for the New York Giants. But I do think that the mentality is survive, win late. Like, that's what they did in year one of Dave's in 2022. They were overmatched on paper for a lot of those games. They were in most of them. Mm-hmm. And in fact, had a winning record for the early part of that season. So it might need to be that formula. It won't be pretty. It's a young team. There's no veterans that you can rely upon to make those plays and be cognizant of when you have to make those plays. But I do feel the enthusiasm about this team, and it showed itself in the execution in game one.
Well, but in fairness, so the New York Jets last year were 2-1. And they lost a 10-9 game to the Broncos.
Yes.
A less-than-touchdown game to Minnesota.
Then fired the coach.
A field goal game to Buffalo. And in the midst of it, fired their head coach. So if we're going to play the game of, hey, a lot of close games,
well,
the Jets kind of had the same issue last year and did the dumbest thing possible by firing their head coach.
Here's the not the problem with me looking at the Jets right now is that I feel like I don't know anything about the Jets right now. The only thing we see is what we saw in preseason.
What do you mean you don't know? Because of the coach? Or because of the roster in general?
No. Just because of the quiet, contained nature. We're not hearing anything coming out of Jet camp.
Right.
Like, this is going to happen. Or, this guy looks great. I mean, you hear the one practice where Justin Fields struggled, and all of a sudden people are freaking the hell out.
And what does that mean when he goes out in the preseason and has a good first drive?
Evan, you're supposed to struggle in practice.
Right.
It's practice. And especially with the new system and everything else that he's getting used to being here in New Jersey after being in Chicago for the first part and in Pittsburgh. Like, it's just, of course he's going to struggle.
Well, I'll tell you another reason why.
It doesn't mean anything.
Another reason why struggling in practice doesn't freak me out. So who is he struggling against? Oh, yeah, the Jets defense.
Right.
Which
right.
We're hoping is supposed to be really good.
That's right.
Look, I think the unknown around the Jets is the head coach. Like, I'm excited about him. He does a lot of things that pump me up, even in that preseason game, by screaming at people and calling people out for the mindless penalties after Robert Saleh would seem to make every excuse known to man.
There were a lot of penalties in that preseason game.
And they got to clean it up.
Of course.
And the head coach called him out on it. So I'm hopeful about what this coach will be. Obviously, we don't know what he is. He hasn't coached an NFL game yet. He says all the right things. I watch every one of his press conferences, and there's always something in the midst of it that makes me smile. So earlier today, he had a press conference about 4 hours ago, and the thing that made me smile, he was waxing poetic about how much he loves coming to work and how much coaching this organization means to him. And little things like that are like, all right, I like it. Oh, he didn't just take a job because someone offered him a coaching job. He took the job he wanted. Now, that's got to translate on the field, but this is a talented roster. It's been that way for years, and to me, the biggest issue they've had was, A, not having a right backup quarterback, which derailed them when Rodgers got hurt, and B, they didn't have the right coaching staff.
Right.
I am hopeful that they may get the coaching staff part right.
Yeah, it's interesting. Did Mike Singletary end up coaching the Bears? I know he coached Miami. Did he coach the Bears? I'm forgetting now for whatever
reason. Coach San Francisco.
I know he's San Francisco, but did he ever coach the Bears? The only reason I'm bringing that up is because we see this often in baseball.
Oh, right? Coaching or managing a team that you play for?
Well, and it's not even a team that you maybe play for, because Dan Campbell played for the Detroit Lions.
But he's not Mike Singletary.
But he's also known as the Giant,
right?
Or even more as a Saint and not necessarily a Lion. And so when you think about Aaron Glenn, spent the early part and most of his career with the Jets, and he was amazing as a player. We all remember him as a player, and then your life evolves. You graduate, you retire from the league, you get into coaching, you go through the arduous path. And by the way, it's not easy being a coach. It's not easy working your way up to being a coordinator and then ultimately getting this opportunity. But then you get the opportunity with the team you played for. Like, that you're known. It's just rare. Like, we're seeing it with Vrabel right now, going back to New England.
There's five of them right now.
Five of them. There's five in this exact situation.
Aaron Glenn, you mentioned Dan Campbell. Harbaugh with the Chargers was their quarterback.
Right.
Vrabel with the Patriots, and DeMeco Ryans with the Texans.
There you go. So it's becoming a trend that used to only see in baseball. It's happening now in football.
Yeah.
And so it's like there's an extra obligation because this place knows you as a player and not just as a coach, not just as someone who's coming in to hopefully change the fortunes of the franchise. It's like in your blood, in a sense. And that's pretty cool for Aaron Glenn. I agree with you on that.
I think it's very cool for Aaron Glenn. I think it's cool for us as fans. Now, ultimately, as long as the coach is successful, doesn't matter if he played for the Jets, didn't play for the Jets, or came up as an intern. Like, we just want good coaching.
I know, but I'm just saying, it's just an added layer.
Absolutely.
And maybe it's a layer of grace that as a fan base that you give him.
Well, are we going to give him grace? I think we're going to give him time because it's year one, and I think as crazy as we are as New York sports fans, we always give that first year a little bit of time.
Of course.
Doesn't mean we're going to give you all the time in the world.
No.
We're going to give you a little bit of time. But a part of what I'm excited about with this head coach is that a lot of times when you bring in a new head coach, you're kind of starting over. This Jet team may not have been as talented as we thought. I will give you that. But they have talent. They have talent on defense. They have an offensive line that has a chance to be really, really good. They have a top wide receiver in Garrett Wilson. They've got an excellent running back room. And so while I'm not going to proclaim they're going to the Super Bowl or even the playoffs, they should be good.
Yeah.
And so with competent coach, because that's how I felt the last few years watching this team, that the big reason they were falling short was they had bad coaching. Turned out to be some of the worst coaching we've ever seen, especially after they fired Saleh. It's not that Robert Saleh was the worst coach ever. It was that once they decided to remove him last year, they inserted the worst coaching room ever. They really did. It was stretched too thin, and it was a disaster.
Even if we liked Jeff Ulbrich as a defensive coordinator, to kind of stay on as the coordinator and try to be the head coach was just, it was a bridge too wide.
It was dead man walking. So when you combine, in my opinion, and maybe I do sound like a homer to some, that's fine. I'm surrounded by giant homers, so it's only fair. If you look at the schedule, if you look at the roster, I don't know how you come to the conclusion the Giants are winning more games than the Jets.
Because I want the Giants to win more games.
That's okay. So it's a one thing.
Actually, I don't even care if they win more games than the Jets. Like, that's just we're in New York. Let's pit one team against the other. I hope they're both successful, to be honest with you.
By the way, I hope you're successful too. But ultimately, as we're sitting here in the middle of August and we have these fun discussions, I do think the Giants will be better. Or the Jets will be better.
Oh, Freudian. You can't help yourself.
I give you
why. Here's your one reservation.
Yes.
That I know that every Jet fan has.
Go ahead.
As excited or exciting as it might be with what Justin Fields can bring as a running quarterback in this league, a guy who won maybe two reads, it's not there, figure it out, make plays off schedule, run.
Yes.
Right? Do what you did when you scored a touchdown on and over the weekend, last weekend. There is still a big question mark about whether he is a quote-unquote winning quarterback. We don't know that yet. We know that Russell Wilson is.
Is he
may be out of his prime, but we know that whether it's for 12 games or 8 games or 4, you're going to get some vintage Russell Wilson.
Yeah, but my counter to that is this may not be a good thing for a lot of Jet fans because we want to know, is Justin Fields the answer? That's one of the things you'd like to know at the end of the year. Is it possible that with an excellent offensive line and a great running back room and a defense that should be, keyword should be to me, a top 12 defense in this sport,
right,
is it possible that they're not asking Justin Fields
maybe
to do all that much?
Maybe, and it could be that. But in the NFL, you still have to score. You can have as good a defense as you want if you can't find ways to put points up. And by the way, they did that in the first preseason game,
yeah,
scoring 30. So did the Giants, obviously scoring over 30. So, again, it's a preseason game. You take it with a grain of salt. But there is a valid question that won't get answered until the regular season starts and we can fully determine whether or not Justin Fields has what it takes to be the long-term, maybe even future quarterback of this team.
It's one of the questions we'd like answered, but I'll give you another reason related to that why I'm confident, while it may end up being 6-4 or 5-3 like a low-scoring baseball game, the Jet win total will be higher than the Giant win total. I'll give you another reason. If the New York Jets struggle, or if they don't struggle, unless there's injury, Justin Fields is playing 17 games.
Right.
Period.
Right.
If there's injury, obviously things change. And right now there are questions about the health of Tyrod Taylor, who's announced he had a procedure done, and they're hopeful he'll be ready for week one. More on that later.
Right. But does it even matter? Because the backup to him looked even better.
I know. But it's preseason.
Right. He looked good, though.
Point is, though, he's playing 17. Like, barring injury, this is his season. And even if it's bad, yeah, Jets can move on at the end of the year. He's playing 17. The thing with the Giants is that if they aren't winning a lot of games, there is a chance, a really good chance, and we'll be talking about it, they're going to decide to sit Russell Wilson for rookie quarterback. And as good as Jackson Dart may eventually be, that doesn't mean with the final 5 or 6 weeks of the year, he's going to give you the best chance to win.
No.
And so if we're talking about wins, that is an edge that the Jets clearly have.
He could struggle. And again, let's not even start to have this conversation of what week is Jackson Dart going to start playing. But I do think it's a conversation, what week do you start thinking about it? Right? That could happen given the difficulty of the Giants' schedule. Because it's rough to start. There's no sugarcoating how tough this schedule is for the New York Giants. And it could get ugly early. Or they find ways to steal some games, again, play them tight to the vest, win them at the end, and surprise some people this season, and then you're not even having the Jackson Dart conversation at all. He sits a year, as I think a lot of really good quarterbacks have done over the last couple of years, and he doesn't have to have the pressure of being the man yet, which is a good thing.
That's what you want. That's an ideal scenario. We'll get your calls next. Giant fans, Jet fans, they had their joint practice today. They'll have a preseason game in a few days. And right now, as fans, we're excited. I mean, do we think we're going to the Super Bowl? Not really. Should we have the debate on how they handle a championship Sunday where both teams are hosting it? Not quite yet. We may get there at some point. I have done the research on what they would do in case you're curious. We touched on this briefly yesterday, but Tiki, be prepared that whenever Shedeur Sanders plays well, which he did in his first preseason game, there's going to be a lot of, could you believe the Giants? Can you believe they didn't draft him? Now, much like Jackson Dart, it is one preseason game.
Right.
And I understand there will be debate around Shedeur, not just amongst Giants, but amongst every team that passed on the guy 4 times. But that is like a cloud that I think will hover over, fair or not, around the Giants season and a bunch of other team season, and that is Shedeur's good. Why didn't you draft him?
Yeah, Shedeur Sanders looked pretty good in his preseason debut, but at the same time, so did our first round pick.
I got you.
Jackson Dart. So he's going to be compared for, I think, a lot of years to come, but ultimately it doesn't matter. If you are a Giant fan, I think you are perfectly content with what you got in this draft. Because not only was it Jackson Dart, but if you jump up to who they picked before, Abdul Carter has looked, even though he only had 3 or 4 pass rushing reps in the first preseason game, he looked amazing. Beating one of the best tackles in the NFL a couple of times, Deion Dawkins, who played for the Buffalo Bills. So I think Giant fans are perfectly content with where they are right now. NFL Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always, always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Go visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. You know what else is on Paramount Plus? 90210, Evan.
Yeah, oh, don't you
Beverly
have to tell
Hills,
me.
90210.
You don't have to tell
Star
me.
Trek is there, too. Strange New Worlds has a second season coming out. Picard, all the stuff. It's great, man.
I find myself lately with 90210 going into the later seasons to just see, well, it wasn't that bad.
Nobody thinks it's so bad. It's not that bad.
And? It's not as good, but it's not the worst. The thing I can't get over is all the crap they do to poor Kelly. I mean, she's in a cult. Mm-hmm. She's a druggie.
They were jumping the shark once a week. Once every 3 weeks.
You think so?
Yeah.
They were going so over the top?
They were going way over the top.
The Kelly Taylor half-sister thing was a little too much. Then Donna had a half-sister. Steve had two half-brothers. I'm like, well, everybody's got a half-sibling. I'll tell you this about Shador real quick before we get to your calls. And this is where I guess I'll be sort of anti-Jet, because I think I was pretty positive in the open talking about what I think this team can do. They have two questions this year. A, I want to see them win games. I'd like to see them break the playoff drought. And B, what's Justin Fields? They got a lottery ticket on him. Can he be the future quarterback? There is a scenario, and I kind of described it, where the Jets are good, the Jets win games, and Justin Fields is not a franchise quarterback. Mm-hmm. He's there for the ride. And what becomes difficult is finding a franchise quarterback while you're winning 7, 8, 9 games. Because you're not picking at the top of the draft. Right. And that's where I bring this back to the decision the Jets made to not draft Shador Sanders. Because I made the point in the days leading up to it that, hey, if he's there, I'd consider him in the first round. If somehow he fell to the second round, which I don't think any of us really thought was going to happen, I would have thought him about him there too.
Yeah.
And it would have been perfect, especially when you look at the Jet quarterback room right now, to say, wow, it would have been kind of cool to have him sit there behind Justin Fields. And I'm not saying that because Tyrod Taylor got hurt. I'm saying it because they're looking for a franchise quarterback, I assume, unless Justin Fields proves to be the answer. And they could have drafted this guy with incredible value. Now, I'm not trying to bury Brady Cook, who looked pretty good in the preseason. But the odds are he ain't the answer either.
Well, Brady Cook's also a college free agent, and it's really hard to escape your draft situation or lack thereof. And so while he may play well, unless it is a Brock Purdy type ascension, given whatever opportunity he's given, you're likely looking for a quarterback.
That's all I'm saying. It's likely. I don't want to bury the kid. So I think if we're sitting here a year or two from now talking about Shador became a star and almost complaining about who passed on him, I think as a Jet fan, I'll complain louder than you guys.
Yeah. No, you're probably right. Because, well, while next year's draft class, and it's way too early to look at these things, even though we are hearing that Arch Manning from his father or his grandfather is not going to come out in the 2026 draft, there's a lot of quarterbacks in the next year's draft. And we don't know what they're ultimately going to be graded like and where they're going to be ranked in relative to the entirety of the draft. But you knew that Shador Sanders was a gamer. Whether you liked his attitude or hated it or whatever your opinion was of Shador Sanders, he's a good ball player. And even if you needed to develop him, you had it because you had Justin Fields already.
It would have been perfect.
It would have been perfect. Now, if you end up winning too many games and you're back into the draft, that's when it really gets dicey if Justin Fields isn't the guy.
888-808-1019, the number. Corey is in Massapequa Park. Good afternoon to you, Corey.
What's up, Corey?
Hey, good afternoon. How you guys doing?
Wonderful. What's on your mind, man?
I just rounding out the Giants-Jets talk, two points. One with the Giants, just kind of as a side note, I do feel really good after the first game, not so much because of the game. I think it's more the Giants just getting back to their identity, right? You hear that a lot, but Keith mentioned O-line play, even the running backs, right? I mean, obviously we know Tracy as like the slasher, but you have Scatterboos, you know, a friggin' nail gun out there. And I mean, we haven't seen him, but known his potential and some of the grit. So, you know, with the Jets, Giants, I'm biased, but I'm going Giants way more than the Jets this year. But my point for the call was really on the strength of schedule. I think one of the flaws of all New York teams, and it's a gift and a curse, is that I feel like we really play to the level of our competition. Just see it all the time, right? We lose to teams that we shouldn't lose.
True.
sometimes, you know, we beat teams that we shouldn't beat. And for me, knowing that we're kind of at the lowest in my lifetime that I've seen as a Giants fan, to have the difficult strength of schedule, I feel like might bring out the best in the boys and really give us the opportunity to, you know, feel like we have to show something and can't take any days off. So I'm using it as a rallying cry to really bring the best for the season.
I mean, it's a good way to think about it. You rise to the occasion, and you know you're not taking anything for granted. There's no complacency in how you're playing, which might be an issue with one of the New York teams in this town that's playing right now. It'd be the New York Yankees. It feels complacent sometimes, but I don't think the Giants can afford that. I don't think the coaching staff would allow it. Now, we're not going to sit here and have hot seat conversations, but it is kind of a go or go home moment for this staff right now. And there's an enthusiasm, there's an energy, there's a purpose. What it feels like is permeating the clubhouse or the locker room or the organization over there. And so I don't think complacency is ever going to be a part of this Giants team this year. They're not good enough to be at that level.
I understand that at the end of this season, the Giants could go 5-12. We're going to look at the growth of the roster. We're going to see Jackson Dart play a few games at the end of the year and say, hey, I feel good about the team. I'm not arguing with that. Mm-hmm. You have every right to feel that way. What I'm saying on August 12th is, who the hell is going to win more games? And who you play matters.
Yeah, I mean,
it just does. It's not the end-all, be-all. I get it. A team on your schedule, like the Chargers week 4, may not be as good as we think now in August. I acknowledge that. And it goes both ways. A team like the Saints, who both teams play, well, the Saints are supposed to be one of the worst teams in the league. Maybe they stun us. It goes both ways. So when you say, yeah, strength of schedule, it's a hard schedule, that's good for us. No, it's not, because you want to win games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know about you, I'm not debating who's going to feel better in January. I'm saying who's going to win more games.
How the hell are the Jets winning games with their schedule?
I'll tell you how. The Pittsburgh Steelers are overrated. That's a win. They'll probably lose to Buffalo. I don't know how good the Buccaneers are. I don't think the Dolphins
the Bucks,
are any good.
The Bucs didn't get worse.
I didn't say they got worse.
And those are 2 1:00 games in Florida back-to-back before two is probably hurt.
What the hell? First of all, they're in Miami, and it's a Monday night football game.
Oh, I'm
so it's
sorry.
Not a 1 o'clock
game. I missed
game.
That one. Tampa's 1 o'clock.
So get your schedule out of your ass. That's number one.
Either way, if that's pre a Tua injury, you're winning that game?
First of all, I don't know when Tua is going to be healthy. And even if Tua is healthy, I don't think the Dolphins are that good.
Denver, Cincinnati, you're winning those games?
Yeah, I think your schedule is more difficult, significantly more.
Well, look, I don't think the Jets is also difficult.
That's my point. Nobody's arguing the Giants' difficulty. Nobody's bringing up the Jets' difficulty.
They have the 21st most difficult schedule in the NFL. Mm-hmm. That's where they're ranked. Now, I agree, as I've said many times, that can change based on opponents and if they're better or worse than we think. But as of right now, you could scream into the shadows all you want. The Giants have the toughest schedule. The Jets have the 21st toughest schedule. That's just the facts.
Right. But so, that's based on also expectations for all the teams on these respective schedules.
I agree. And that can absolutely
flip. Which is
why
you can't even really look at it. You can't judge it on
of
what
course
the predictions
you can.
Are.
No, I think you can because I think that we have knowledge base of what we think teams are going to be. Now, some of our opinions alter, like, I don't think Miami's any good. I think the Steelers are going to fall flat on their face. You guys don't have to necessarily agree with that, but in my opinion, that's what I think is going to happen. You play the Patriots once, we play them twice. I've said this to you a few times. I think they're the most overrated team going into the start of the season. Everyone is taking turns.
They're getting a head coach lift.
Kissing ass to Mike Vrabel.
Well, they're getting a head coach lift.
I got it. Okay, great. How good is Drake May? Do we know?
I mean,
who are skill position players? Why don't you go through that list? Anyone want to go through that?
No.
You wouldn't rather start the year with Drake May than Justin Fields?
That's not what this is about. I'm talking about if I think the Patriots are any good. I mean, you're bringing it all back to them.
Give me the Jets skill position guys, especially a wide receiver.
Well, let's start with a guy who's a top 10 wide receiver in the league in Garrett Wilson.
Outside of Garrett Wilson.
Well, no, not outside. He's a number one receiver. Do the Patriots have that?
They have Stephon Diggs, who was a number one receiver.
Keyword was.
He's got a number one girlfriend. Does that count?
He doesn't.
I thought they broke up. But then they didn't. And I'm confused, actually.
It's complicated. But as far as I know, they are still together.
I think it was always complicated, by the way.
Yeah, I don't think that was ever not complicated.
Exactly.
Let's go to Angel in the Bronx. What's up, Angel?
Hello, gentlemen. What's going on? How's everybody?
All's good.
What's up, man?
So, I'm not really like a football guy, but I do love the Jets. I've been hearing you guys talk about them and their new head coach situation, which on paper, I guess it seems a little exciting. He's holding people accountable. I feel like he can help out with the chemistry. I felt there was no chemistry last season, And that's why once the coach, Coach Sala, got eradicated, it just went downhill from there.
Good word.
So I just, thank you. I just wanted to see how did I go into the season as far as expectations go.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good, Angel, you're asking an important question, because I only can say this because I've been over at the Giants facility. You're hearing all these reports out of the Giants facility that their glue, interestingly, has been Russell, right? He's just this leader and this positivity and this experience and wealth of positives and negatives, all of which he's learned from, and he's become that leader. You're not hearing that from the Jets.
Because like, you know who I think their leader is?
It's the head coach.
I think it's the head coach.
You're 100% right. And with a team like the Giants 3 years ago, it was the same thing, right? Dave's was the guy.
Yeah.
Right? He was the one that was setting the culture. You got to earn your playing time. Nobody's getting free passes. I don't care where you were drafted or where you sit at. But the question that ultimately I think becomes important is who's leading from within? And it's too early to know that from the Jets.
Yeah. Here's how I would give confidence. So over the last 3 years, the Jets have been a 7-win team. Mm-hmm. Now, I know last year they won 5 games, but walk with me through this. When they fired Robert Saleh, who I don't think was a great head coach, but at least was, you know, somewhat competent, unlike his replacement. And I don't mean to pick on Jeff Ulbrich. He's never going to get a head coaching job again. He was not ready for the job.
No.
It was a bad decision by Woody Johnson. But when they fired Robert Saleh, the Jets were 2-3.
Mm-hmm.
So let's keep that in mind. They were a 2-3 team, and being negative or positive, wouldn't you agree that if they kept Saleh for the entire year, the odds are they probably go 7-10 again?
Yeah.
Somewhere in that range.
Right.
So it is fair to say that over 3 years, they were a 7-win team. I thought they were poorly coached. I thought they lacked discipline. I thought they lacked an identity. And so I'm taking a leap of faith, which I admit is tough to take as Aaron Glenn hasn't coached an NFL game, mm-hmm. where I say, you know what? I think that this coach gets 2 or 3 more wins out of this team. If we think talent-wise they're still on that 7-win level that Saleh brought them to, that's how I get to 8 or 9 wins.
Yeah.
I think the coach can make that kind of difference, and that's where I look at this team. Still a talented team, maybe not as talented as we thought when you schooled us all last year by saying you're not as talented as you think. You can be right. But also, they have talent. And with the right head coach, that should be a team that's better than the 7 wins Robert Saleh is leading them to.
No, you're right in to an extent, because
thank you.
Robert Saleh,
I'll take the extent.
As much as we, I don't know, didn't think he was ever going to be the man, he was competent.
Yes.
he was competent. And then, unfortunately for Jeff Ulbrich, he got put in this position where he could never really catch back up, right? He was chasing a ball. He could never catch it. And the team faltered because of that. But now with Aaron Glenn, there's a new system. It's clearly the sheriff in town. And that's not just with the team. It also feels like it's with the organization.
Yeah.
Right? He's making the organization better by stopping the nonsense. Let's not try to win press conferences. I'm talking. I am the voice. When you hear something from the Jets, it's going to come from me. And if it comes from someplace else, somebody's in trouble, right? That's what it feels like is going on there. And you kind of need to be that way when things have been so haphazard for so many years. And so I appreciate that, because it forces everything in-house. Now, with that being said, you still got to find guys that are going to lead. You got to still find guys to, not to be religious, but evangelize for you in the locker room,
yeah.
right? And to take whatever message he's preaching, because I promise you, it's not a, hey guys, let's go make cookies on our off day. It's not that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's hard, and it's harsh, and it hurts your feelings sometimes, and you're going to get, you know, cussed out because you jumped offside. Like, all that is important. It's also got to be accepted inside the locker room.
It feels like it is.
And it does feel like it is. We just haven't gotten that, well, this guy is particularly doing it, whether it's Justin Fields or Breece Hall, whoever it may be, Joe Tippmann, I don't know. It's somebody has to become that guy in the locker room for Aaron Glenn. And I don't even know if Aaron Glenn knows who that is yet.
No, you're right. And I think the other thing that never happened with Saleh is the identity. Like, yeah. the identity was sort of, okay, we're going to have a good defense, and Aaron Rodgers is awesome. That right. was the identity. And Sean always brings up the point when Saleh said, good teams coach themselves. Mm-hmm. Like, there wasn't really a plan. Aaron Glenn has a plan. We'll see if it works, which is, we are going to run the freaking football down your throats.
If you don't block, you don't get a rock.
Yeah, which is great. And it's so true. We are going to shove the foot. It's very Rex Ryan-like in a way.
Right.
Because their formula in 9 and 10 was not with a franchise quarterback in Mark Sanchez. But they had great success.
Right. Someone just did not mess it up.
But right.
There's a big difference, though.
Between the 9-10 Jets and potentially this one? Go ahead.
Those Jets, with Braylon Edwards and Santonio Holmes, at least had the threat of pushing the ball at points.
They have Garrett Wilson.
Right. Yeah, but from all accounts, in this camp and his career to date, Justin Fields cannot throw the ball down the field.
No, I understand that.
If you start stacking 8 on the box and the tape is out on the Jets, how are they going to respond to that?
He's going to have to make plays down the field. Again, I mean, no one's dying that.
In the first, that's what I was alluding to.
Yeah.
Like, we don't know that yet. We have to figure out and... This is on Tanner Engstrand, the offensive coordinator, to develop something that Justin Fields is comfortable with, pushing the ball down the field.
Absolutely.
You can't run the ball to success in today's NFL. It's too hard.
I think you can, but I do agree with Sean's point that, yeah, you have to have
threats. Who's done it? Who's done it? I can't think of one off the top of my head. It's run first.
That's run first, like the 9-10 Jets?
Yeah.
It's rare.
I guess to an extent San Francisco kind of was. But it was
That NFC Championship game against the Packers?
Right.
They ran the ball 50 times.
But it's also because they had a home run hitter.
Yeah.
And Breece is a home run hitter, but you got to get the scheme
Tennessee,
right.
Derrick Henry, Vrabel, Ryan Tannehill.
That's the one.
That's the one. You're right.
That's exactly the one.
I know we want
Baltimore too, but yes. that includes the quarterback.
We all want the bar to be a Super Bowl.
Right.
I'm not telling you the Jets are winning a Super Bowl. I'm not that high right now. I'm not high at all, but you know what I mean. Like, I'm just talking about success. 8-9 wins, dare I say, competing for a playoff spot. And I do think that can at least happen with this identity.
Be relevant in December.
That's my goal.
That's the goal.
Relevance in December. Fred Wilpon. I know you got booed at Citi Field a few weeks ago when your name was mentioned. Meaningful September baseball is what you once said about the Mets.
Right.
That's where we are with the Jets. Meaningful December football. Mike is in Manhattan. What's up, Mike?
What's up, Mike?
Hey, fellas. Hey, my problem with Babel is he's got no imagination on the running game because it's very predictable and very, off tackle left, off tackle right, maybe a screen.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see any pitching out. You don't see no reverses or jet sweep. You don't see really anything, that really shows you that he's got an attack plan.
Well, I think last year and even the last couple, it's hard to do those when you don't have continuity on your offensive line. And there's a familiarity that is necessary to do all those type of different misdirection, bunches and tosses and all these other schemes that you have in your run game. And I'll give you the perfect example, unfortunately, because it's right down the road, in the Philadelphia Eagles. When I called a bunch of those games and you'd watch the offensive scheme, it was so diverse what they were allowing Saquon to do. And it was all because the offensive line, they never messed up.
Nah.
You know, it's like, all right, we're going to run a split zone. They block it perfectly. All right, we're going to run a toss. They block it perfectly. And so it just makes it easier when you have a group of guys who can do all those things together. The Giants haven't had that. And so I think the biggest challenge, the biggest question mark, and it's been this way for years, unfortunately, for the Giants, is can the O-line get right, consistently right? And we'll only know that once we get to the regular season.
Well, you've got two monstrous questions on your offensive line.
Number one is Andrew Thomas
being healthy. We can't deny that's not a question. 2 years in a row, he hasn't been healthy.
Right. And he's got a Liz Frank issue. It's a foot issue. He's 350 pounds, whatever, 40 pounds. It's not like you can just, I'm just going to feel better because you can't get off of it.
Well, my question to you also is, if he is healthy for week one, which every Giant fan is praying for, is there a possibility he's not as good as we remember? Is it possible that it's going to affect him? He is human.
Yeah. You don't get used to doing something by not doing it.
Right.
You have to do it. You have to go through the actual repetitions. So it's a huge, it's not even a small, that's a massive question.
Massive question. The second question is going to be, assuming Evan Neal takes the right guard spot from Greg Van Roten. Did I say this story on the air? I was telling Tiki, I was like, you know, as Jet fans, we used to call him, no offense, Greg Van Rotten, because he stunk.
And Tiki's like, ah, that's kind of funny. Whatever.
We have Joe Shane on, and Tiki accidentally calls him Greg Van Rotten.
That's your fault. That is your fault. That was so in my head.
As soon as I said it,
I looked at you, and I see you snickering over there.
I was like, damn, I put that in his head. I feel bad. Well, either he or Evan Neal have to be, you know, competent NFL players. And I like the fact that Giants finally moved Evan Neal to guard. Right. I think we were screaming about that for a year.
And he accepted it.
Yeah, well, what's his choice?
Well, nothing now. It's fighting for his career. But he didn't play in the first preseason game.
And didn't practice today. He's already screwed on this job. He's not starting.
Well, there you go. So that's another problem with this offensive
line. He was good last year, though. That's the problem. You're remembering, and I don't even think he's a great player, Greg Van Roten. Mm-hmm. But under his best offensive line coach with the Raiders, his best year, Carmen Brasillo, came and brought into the Giants. He was solid last year.
But you still want Evan Neal to start
over
him.
He's 35 years old.
Yeah, of course.
You're still game planning for Evan Neal to save his career by playing right guard, are you not?
But is the question who is better in 2025? I thought that's what we were having a conversation on. I'm not trusting the future of guard with Greg Van Roten.
But the point is Evan Neal's going to play
Evan Neal has all the talent, the skill sets to be a guard. And I said this 2 weeks ago. He just doesn't know what he's doing yet. I mean, he played guard in college, but he's a tackle. And he's big. Like, he's tall and he's long. Mekhi Becton got away with it last year.
Yeah.
Because he was extraordinarily well taught. And we all know this with Jeff Stoutland, the offensive line coach with the Philadelphia Eagles. He takes these guys and he molds them into this super cohesive unit. Evan Neal has got work to do at guard. And it's not going to happen in the tub.
Yeah.
Right? Old cliche. Can't make the club in the tub type of thing.
I love that thing.
He can't. And so he's got to get on the field. He's got to compete for that job. That's the most important thing for Evan Neal right now.
Real quick, I don't want you to think. I just want you to answer it.
Go ahead.
Okay, one of those things. I just asked you the question right away. What's my name?
Evan.
Okay. What's his name?
Tommy.
What's his name?
Sean.
How many wins are the Giants going to have?
7.
Oh, okay. We got a 7 out of them.
He's delusional.
7. I hope you're right.
That's 7. How many the Jets are going to have?
How many wins are the Ravens going to have?
12.
What's your first name?
A team.
Which team did you play for in the NFL?
The New York Football Giants.
What friend of yours just got inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame?
That would be Carson Sabathia.
How many wins are the Jets going to have?
6.5.
Jesus. 6.5.
6.5. We're going to tie again. That's what's going to happen. We'll come back with more of your calls, 888-808-1019. And one change Aaron Boone needs to make that he's very reluctant to make. We'll get to it coming up in a few minutes.